M&K Talk YA now presents Shadow and Bone, Part 2 of the Shadow and Bone Trilogy by Leigh Bardugo. This is M&K Talks YA.
Is it? I think we're M&K Talk YA.
What did I say?
Talks?
Oh.
Never mind. It's fine. We don't know the name of our podcast, but I'm Marissa Snyder.
And I'm Katie Bradford.
And this is a podcast where we talk all about YA fiction.
And in this episode, we finished Shadow and Bone, the first book. The whole book.
We did.
So if you haven't finished reading it, we may spoil it.
And there's actually kind of a lot to spoil, so.
Yeah. So you know how we were like, we accidentally read more than half because,
or whatever? Yeah.
But I feel like we actually stopped at a really good place because then the next chapter, like, everything changed.
I know. In fact, like, I feel so stupid because I was like, had a really big crush on the Darkling, I'm not gonna lie. And then in the second half, he just turned into this terrible person. And I was like, oh.
So I know I said that I thought he, you know, we couldn't trust his motives and stuff. But I still feel like we don't have the whole story. Like, I feel like maybe he's not as terrible as we think right now.
I think you're right. Because he's a complicated person.
Yeah, he is. And I hope we get more of that story. I hope it's not, like, now just he's the bad guy. Like, I hope we kind of figure out more about, because I think he is trying to do the right thing. And he's been around for so long and he's seen so much. And I also, do you think his feelings for her were purely manipulative, or do you think they were real?
I want to believe that they were real, because, like you said, he is so old, and I was thinking about this, he is the only one of his kind, you know? Like, there are other Grisha, but there's no one really like him, and then she came along, and she was most similar to him, and so I kind of think that he did feel something for her, if only, like, you know how he says light calls to like? I think he felt a connection like that, and it was something that he had been wanting to have for a really long time.
I think I agree. And even, like, their, like, moment in the hallway or whatever, like, I felt like he was really trying to, you know, he was saying, like, he almost didn't want to feel that way, but was feeling, like, I didn't feel like it was fake.
Right, because he was like, the problem with wanting is that it leaves you weak. Yeah, I agree. And I think you also see some, like, real jealousy when at the end he sees her with Mao and he sees them kiss. And, you know, I think there's part of him that wonders, like, why she's choosing this non-Grisha, whatever they call them.
Yeah.
Like, the abandoned.
The Muggle, or whatever they're called.
The Muggle. Yeah, there's, like, a Russian word for it that they have. When she could be with someone like him, I think he's a little bit confused by that.
Yeah, I don't think he's used to losing, because even earlier, like, in the palace, you know, there were a lot of, obviously everyone wanted to, like, be in his favor, and even she's still kind of fighting that, even when she thinks he's, like, the bad guy, because I'm still not convinced he is completely bad, but she thinks he's the bad guy, and she still is kind of drawn to him a certain amount.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, like, definitely an allure and, like, an attraction to him that they say everyone feels, really. Because Jenya was like, we all feel a pull towards him.
Yeah.
But I hated how he, like, used his, he, like, mocks her for, like, falling for his seduction.
I know, you know? I, like, didn't like that either.
Oh, and he uses it against her to try and make Mao mad. And he knows now that, like, he can use Mao against her. Like, he can play them against each other because he knows what their weaknesses are now.
And yeah, which, like, is that. Why I was kind of surprised he tried to kill him.
Yeah.
That seemed like he was just asking for, like, I didn't understand that. I felt like that was his actual influence chip. And
right.
That's where I kind of felt like he was being the jealous ex most.
The jealous ex-boyfriend.
Kind of.
That part whenever she is trying to get him to show mercy and she's like, if you let him go, I will serve you willingly. And then he was like, yes, I could be merciful, but instead I'm going to feed him to the Valkyra. I was like, Oh my god, no, you're such a monster. What are you doing?
But I'll give you one night together. I actually thought that was kind of sweet in a weird way.
I think that's messed up. Oh my god. Ugh.
I don't even understand, with it being like a political journey too, why he would kill someone out there. Like, what? Like, or like, even just like have her stand back and like send Mal out there on his own, or like, I don't understand.
It was just a show of power. It was just a power play to show her that he controlled her now.
Yeah, and he was just convinced that there was no way she had the ability that she ended up having.
Right. Okay. Should we talk about that?
Yeah. She kind of is reminding me of Young Elite's crazy girl a little bit at the end, though, with her
Adelina
attraction to her power. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, and I was worried because now that she has this power, like, there's a theme in this book about how greed and ambition and, like, power can lead to really terrible things, like the creation of the Shadowfold. And I'm so nervous that she's going to, like, become, like, the Darkling.
Yeah.
Because when he tries to tell her that he'll try and find a way to take the collar off, she, like, loses it.
I know. And it used to be that all she wanted was to be with him, and now they're together. Granted, not under the best circumstances, but still together.
Mm-hmm.
And she even had some power even without the collar. Like, it's not like...
She's useless.
It's not like in Young Elites where they say, like, you know, like, it's not like all or nothing, but still she's, yeah, kind of addicted to the thrill of it already, even though she's freaked out by the choice she made.
To abandon everyone in the Shadowfold?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it was so at odds with the other, like, big theme of showing people mercy. Because, right, like, when they find the stag, she can't kill it. She can't bring herself to kill it, so she shows it mercy, and then that's the whole reason why she's able to kind of claim the power of the stag's antlers, because she showed it mercy, and that's the whole reason she's able to, like, fight back.
Yeah.
And then she abandons everyone to the Volcra.
To be fair, there was no one else there that I felt like she had any tie to. So it's not like she turned her back on a friend or something. And I think she just was so scared of the Darkling, she had to take, like, if she saved anyone, she would have probably also saved him, right? Like, there's no way that she could, I think she was hoping if she just abandoned them all that he would also die.
Yeah, I think you're right. But still, it was a lot of innocent people.
No, it was. And I don't think he is dead. I mean, I guess we still don't have confirmed reports that he's alive, but we also don't have confirmed reports that he's dead. And he can't be dead, right? He can't
there's
be dead.
There's no autopsy report. No, he can't be dead. But I don't know how he's going to survive the Volcra without her. And how cool that the Volcra, we learned that they were men before they were creatures. I love that, because it was like...
Okay, I have a question, though. So, why are they not, like, scared of fire?
Why are they scared of fire?
No, why are they not? Because it's like, light scares them away, right? Why don't they just, like, light bonfires on their little ship things? Wouldn't that, like, keep them at bay?
Yeah, because they have, Bernie, or whatever, they have Grisha who make fire.
Yeah, but they just seem to, like, it seems like they're all in darkness, and then when they come, they, like, fight them with fire. But why don't they just put a bonfire on the ship?
That's a good question.
I mean, it wouldn't fix the dark, like, they would still need her to undo the Shadowfold, but you'd think they'd be able to cross it.
I think you found a really big plot hole.
Or I feel like there's more to it that I don't feel like I understand all the Grisha magic yet. I feel like, and I don't feel like she does either. Like, I feel like we're still kind of learning. I mean, obviously.
Alina, yeah.
Yeah. We're not even sure exactly what the amplifier works.
Yeah, that's true. They're, I don't know. I don't know why fire doesn't scare them. I think it's cool because it gives them, like, a bigger depth, I guess. Like, they're not just monsters. They're more than that. And it kind of ties back to, like, the Darkling. Is he a monster? Is he not a monster? Does he just have a different perspective?
It will be kind of interesting to see if we can, like, turn them back to human or something.
I know. I was thinking that.
Oh. Or have they evolved into that? Are they humans? Like, I mean, is it, like, generations later?
It must be, because they said he created the Shadowfold, like, hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Yeah. My dog just ran off.
Oh, no.
Toby.
Come back.
Don't go into the Shadowfold.
I debated having Banjo in here with me. Oh my gosh, I took a really funny photo of Banjo the other day. I was telling Chad about the Volcra and the Shadowfold, and then Banjo was like hiding behind the covers, and it looked like she was terrified of the story.
That's hilarious.
So I'm gonna post it. It's really, really cute. Okay, did you know, speaking of this amplifier, the Morozova stag, so apparently there is a necklace that's shaped like the stag collar, and you can buy it on Etsy.
Did you buy one? Be honest.
No, I didn't, but I thought about it. I thought about sending it to my sister just without her knowing anything about it and being like, hey, what do you think about this? And just see what she says. Just so hilarious. I know if I can wear it or not.
What do you think is going to happen next? I think the Darkling is still alive.
I don't know. We kind of just like jumped into this right away without planning what we were going to talk about.
No, but I always forget the priest guy, the creepy Rasputin guy's name.
The Apparat.
What happened to him? I still want him to come back. I thought he was going to be more of a character, either for good or bad.
Well,
continuing.
Right.
And I think he's got to come back too.
Right? Well, I think so, because right now he's ruling in the king's stead, because the king is somehow mysteriously sick. Jenya may or may not have something to do with it, but we think she does because she was like mysteriously promoted, so she's not a servant anymore. She's wearing corporalki colors, and now the Apparat is, I guess, ruling. And that makes me nervous because we know the Darkling really didn't want to be ruled by the king anymore. And so now I'm kind of curious, is he aligned with the Apparat now?
But I think even if he is aligned, I don't know if we get... Are they, like, temporarily aligned or are they really aligned? You know what I mean?
Yeah. How good of friends are they? I don't know.
Yeah. They might have just had a common enemy at first, but now... Oh, and I was mad about her betrayal. Goya.
Jenya? Yeah.
Jenya.
I know, but don't you think that, like... She just doesn't know the full story, and so all she knows is, like, the Darkling says he's going to destroy the Fold, and so she's going with that?
No, I think she knows way more than she's letting on, but I could be wrong. I do think maybe she will... I don't think she's 100% on the wrong side yet, but I do think she's not, she knows what she's doing.
I mean, okay, so the Darkling wants to use Alina's power to expand the Fold and use it as a weapon against his enemies, right? And that's how he's trying to achieve peace, by, like, ending the wars by using this as a weapon.
And it's not that he even wants to expand it. He wants to, he's willing to, but he wants to threaten to expand it to get people to just stop fighting.
And so...
Which isn't a terrible...
It's not. It really, I mean, it's a different perspective. The only problem is that it's, like, A, it's peace on his terms and his terms alone, and B, it's, like... I think people are nervous about the extent of his ambition, and he might take it too far. And once he has this power, like, he will never stop.
And it goes back to this whole theme we've talked about before of ruling out of fear.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always, like, a really shaky way to rule. Like, maybe people will stop fighting, but they're never gonna, like,
respect him. They'll never love you.
Yeah.
Or do things because they want to. They'll just do... And that's kind of how the Grisha are, I think, now. Because, like, even when she wins at the end, and she is trying to get the Grisha on her side to say, follow me, like, I'm going to destroy the Fold, they don't go with her. They don't follow her because they're all so scared of the Darkwing.
Yeah. And I do think... I'm kind of, again, curious about him. Because at first, you know how he said the Fold was created by, like, his great-great-grandfather or something? And then his mom revealed it was actually created by him?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of, like, curious of who all knows that and how much of his motives are well-known versus...
I don't think many of them are because he's such a mystery. Like, he's a complete enigma and he's so reserved and, like, withdrawn. I mean, he's still... I guess he...
I'm still fascinated by him.
I know. Me too. Me too. And, like, part of me hates myself for that.
You can't help it. It's
you can't
just
help
his
it.
Natural
it's like,
draw.
It's yeah. like how you feel with, it's like how Alina feels, kind of. It's like you're drawn to him and you want to know more, even though you know that he does really bad things.
Yeah.
But that was another big reveal, that Bagra is his mother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't know that before either.
I guess it kind of, they hinted at it because she was the only one who spoke so openly to him.
Well, I thought... that it was just that she was his older, she was older than him and his teacher, so she felt, I had no idea that they were related.
Mm-mm, no, me either.
It wasn't shocking, but I did not expect that.
I wonder where she went. We kind of just lost her. She kind of pulled a Cassius on us and just disappeared.
Yeah, we have no idea what he did to her.
Oh.
Because he knows it was her, right?
Yeah. who let her escape, who let Alina escape. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still his mom.
I know.
And but I kind of think she might be more powerful than him in some ways. Like, I kind of get the sense that she might be able to do some stuff he can't. She can't stop him, but
she could definitely mess up his plans, maybe.
Yeah.
Here's hoping.
I wonder who his dad is.
Oh, good question. Well, it would have to be someone as old as he is. I mean, older.
Maybe it's the Rasputin guy.
The apparat. He's a million years old.
That's just his title, right? Or is that his name?
It's a title. I should have looked up what that meant.
I did my usual thing where I started with a really good idea of what to research and then went down a rabbit hole that's mostly unrelated, and I looked into the father of cinematography at one point. So.
Oh, boy.
Get excited.
Okay, I looked up apparat, and it's a German musician, so that didn't work.
Well, we'll see. Maybe he secretly is from a different faraway land known as Germany.
Maybe. Although, okay, so I, speaking of faraway lands, I was at a wedding today, or today, not today. I was at work today. I was at a wedding this weekend, and I caught up with a family friend who lives in Moscow. And so I, like, completely picked her brain about, like, some Russian traditions and asked a lot about what it was like to live there. And I was talking to her about Butter Week, that festival that Mal and Alina stumble across.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, my gosh, tell me everything about Butter Week. And she was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. and then I was describing it to her, and she was like, oh, you mean Maslenitsa. I think that's how you pronounce it. Maslenitsa. There's too many Russian words in this book. And so it's like a week-long holiday, and it's before the start of the Russian Orthodox Lent. And as soon as I started talking about it, she immediately knew what it was. And she was like, yeah, it is a pagan holiday, or that's where the roots are. And it was meant to signal the end of winter, which she thought that was really funny because winter in Russia, like, doesn't end until, like, July. And the festival takes place in March. So it's meant to signal the end of winter, and to celebrate it, they eat blinis, which are like crepes. They're like Russian pancakes, and they're round, and they're shaped like the sun. So it's meant to be a celebration of the start of spring.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah, and like the whole festival, I guess, is you just try to eat as many blinis as you possibly can. And
that was also just a nice scene in the book, don't you think? When they like broke up their runaway and kind of did some world building and did a little bit of a flashback.
And also it was nice seeing them kind of like resort to their easy ways that they had before all this started, and they kind of just became friends again.
Yeah. When we last talked, I like wasn't sure if we'd ever really get to know Mal for real. Like, I hoped so. But now I feel like, oh yeah, I like him. He's a character. Like, I care about his future. Before, he was just like the guy that she talked about.
Right.
We never saw.
And now we see, you know, his confession that he really does love her, and he just didn't realize it before, and he kind of came to that slow realization after she left, and he thought that at first he was trying really hard to track the stag, and he volunteers to do it because he thought he owed her for not stepping in when the Darkling took her away, but then, you know, as he kept looking for the stag, he realized it was because he really loved her, and so that seeing them together in that way was really sweet.
Did you have any bonus features at the end of your Kindle version?
Yes. And that's part of the reason why I completely overestimated how many pages we were supposed to read. Because, like, half of the Kindle was from her next series, which is Six of Crows.
Oh.
And so all of a sudden I was like, who is Kaz? Like, who are these characters? And then I looked back and I was like, oh my gosh, there's, like, six chapters from Six of Crows at the end of this book, so that's my fault.
Oh, mine didn't have that, but mine does have a letter that Mal wrote Alina that was found near Ravka's northern border. So it was like while he was searching for the stag, or right before he crossed the border to search for the stag, and it was his letter to her, and it was just kind of a neat peek into his brain, you know, kind of what was going on for him while he thought that she wasn't reaching out to him and he wasn't sure if she was being tortured or if she, you know, what happened to her.
Yeah. Can you send it to me?
Yeah, I'll take some pictures and send it to you. It's actually pretty long, but I felt like it was a really cool peek into his kind of point of view and stuff. So if you don't have it, you should try to find it, and I will send it to you, Marissa.
Thank you.
But I really like their friendship. and I know it's about to get complicated, and I'm freaking out about it.
Well, did you notice how I really liked that the author, the way she set up the beginning of the book, the first chapter and the end? So, because in the first chapter, she's talking about them in third person.
Oh, yeah.
It just refers to them as the boy and the girl, and they're nameless. And then I noticed in the last chapter in this book, she did the same thing. And so I thought that was really pretty because it was like they found each other again, even though so many things happened to them, they were still able to like get back to where they were at the beginning. And
it makes them sound more like a legend or something, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that. It's almost like storytelling.
Like, it doesn't even matter who they are. It's just like their destiny or something.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, so you were asking me about what I think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I really thought, I mean, we're only in book one, so let's pump the brakes. But I really thought that she was going to have a hard time going back to Mal now that she knows she's Grisha and now that she has this power, because I wasn't sure that life, that old life, would be enough for her anymore. Mm-hmm. But for me, at least, the way the book was set up with the first chapter and the last chapter, it kind of made me feel like they can always come back to each other and they will always have that connection, like, no matter what happens. And so now I think that there's not going to be a love triangle. I think she's going to end up with Mal.
I don't know. I think that she will end up with him, and I think she should end up with him. But I feel like right now, it feels like they're destined for each other. They're supposed to be together. And I think it's going to be like a real struggle if, while she's dealing with this whole power thing, and if we find out the Darkling isn't actually as bad as we think he is, and she starts to relate to him. I don't necessarily think it'll be a love triangle, maybe. But I think that right now, they kind of seem like these lovers who, you know, should have been together. They've known each other their whole lives. Like, it's so easy, but I don't think it's going to stay that easy for them.
I don't think it will either, but it at least is hopeful.
Yeah.
You know?
I am kind of curious, once they get the collar off of her, if, assuming they do, like, how, like, why can't it be something she removes? Just because they fused it on her, but, like, I mean, in the future, could it be something she, like, doesn't wear all the time, but could wear all the time?
I don't know, because don't they say, like, the amplifier claims you?
Yeah, but I feel like everyone else was, like, wearing, like, bear claws on their neck and stuff. Like, can't you take those off when you go to sleep?
I don't know. When I buy my Morzova Stag necklace, I'll let you know. I don't know. That's a good question.
I tried to look into the idea of, like, killing animals for their traits, because I've heard that before, like, in, like, some Native American legends or, like, other things where, you know, you get the power of something when you kill it, mm-hmm. or, you know, and that's, like, why you carry, like, teeth and claws, and part of it's, like, oh, look what I killed, and part of it's, like, to carry over the power or whatever, but I didn't know how to Google that very well, so I kept finding all these, like, kind of creepy things about how to, like, skin animals.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't know.
Did you find anything?
Nothing, like, very interesting, but the one thing I did find, it was, like, a really small piece, but it was about people wearing animal bones to take on the attributes of the animal, and one that I thought was kind of interesting is people get owl bones and wear them to help them see in the dark.
Oh, does it work?
I mean, I didn't go out and kill an owl. Sure, that was step two of the guide, and I didn't have time for that. Also, I'm a Chi Omega, and our symbol's owl, so I think it would be frowned upon for me to do that, but...
Wait, your symbol is an owl?
It's one of our symbols, yeah, and skull and crossbones.
From what?
Chi Omega. I was on a sorority.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I was just like, is this a family sigil?
Oh my goodness.
Do you have a slogan? A
family crest. I feel like my family probably does have a crest somewhere, and I just need to, like, dig through the attic and find it.
Maybe there'll be an owl on it. Do you remember that trend when we were younger of carrying around rabbit's foot?
No.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, when I was growing up, it was, like, really popular to carry a rabbit's foot in your pocket. It was supposed to be good luck. It was, like, a lucky rabbit's foot.
I actually think my sister had one now I'm thinking. It was, like, on a keychain or something.
Yeah. And they were dag-weird colors.
Yeah, she had a pink one.
Looking back at that, I'm just like, that is so barbaric that we carried around a dead rabbit's foot in our backpack. Because it was an actual foot. It wasn't, like, a fake.
Yeah.
It was an actual foot. Like, it had claws on it and stuff.
And it was a rabbit. Like, those are cute and little. It's not like we had shark teeth, which, like, you lose 800 of them anyway, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's like, I only have 4 feet, and one of them is, like, around my keychain. I just was thinking about, like, how did that become a trend, and how did anybody think that was okay?
I don't know. People do weird stuff. People also used to have pet rocks. I'm just saying. Maybe they were really confused about what had feelings and what didn't.
A pet rock is, I mean, that's fine. That's not hurting anybody. How was a rabbit's foot lucky?
I was going to say, that rabbit sure wasn't lucky, I don't know.
Oh, such weird trends.
So the other thing I was looking up, and I don't even know why this came to mind, but you know how they're trying to, like, disguise themselves at the end? And, like, she waits in the forest and he goes to get, like, old clothes or something for them? Mm-hmm. I was just, like, thinking about how to disguise yourself, and, like, I was curious about people who've done that successfully.
Okay.
And I read about this guy who got arrested when he was flying from Hong Kong to Canada, and he got on the plane as an old white man, mm-hmm. and he got off the plane as a young Asian man.
What?
No. And I guess he had, like, you know, like, Mission Impossible 2, like, the silicone mask thing that...
Oh, yeah.
He, like, had a mask like that to make him look like an old white man, and then he went and, like, changed in the bathroom. And they eventually caught him and, like, whatever. But I was like, I can't believe someone actually did that in real life on a plane.
Why did he do that again?
That seemed crazy to me. I think it was, he was probably trying to, like, leave China or something. Oh, I don't. They didn't really tell us his motivation or his name or anything. But also, if you're sitting next to someone and they're an old white man and then they go to the bathroom and they come back as a young Asian man, would you not, like, notice that? I feel like I would notice that.
I think I would. And I would be very freaked out, and I would think that I was maybe sitting next to Arya Stark from Game of Thrones. And I'd be, I would definitely notice that.
They say another way to, like, so I was reading all these tips if you're trying to, like, hide from the world. You should go to a place where you're a minority, but not, like, so much of a minority that you stand out, because people have a harder time distinguishing your characteristics. So, like, you and I should not stay in a predominantly white area.
Okay.
And then also things like, obviously, like, cutting your hair or changing your hair color. They say wearing glasses is a huge way to hide your identity. If you'd never wear heels, like, try to wear heels so you're a different height. Make it look like you've gained weight, or actually gained weight if you have time.
Ooh, this is like turning into Gone Girl.
Yeah, that's what that it made me think of, too. And then there was this thing about age yourself, and that's when I, like, stumbled upon this thing about the old white guy who's really a young Asian man. But it was just, like, I, like, was going down this rabbit hole. And then I was looking up, because I wanted to see, like, people who've done it successfully. But usually I think probably when people disappear from life, they do it successfully, you never hear from them again.
That's the whole point, right?
So I looked into 10 missing people who vanished in a thin air.
Okay.
And most of the stories that I read actually sounded like they were definitely abducted. And it was, like, kind of sad. Like, a lot of them were, like, kids, and they were, like, you know, they went to go play, but there was, like, no sign of them, and they were only had to go 3 floors in the apartment, and no one saw them leave or go or something like that.
And someone else disguised them?
No, so these aren't necessarily people who were disguised. These are just people who vanished in a thin air.
Oh, okay.
But when I first looked this up, I thought this was people who intentionally left their lives behind, but the more I read into it, the more it seemed like most of them were probably abducted.
Oh, great.
But one of them, this is probably the most famous one, was Louis Le Prince, and he was a French inventor who shot the first moving pictures on film in the world. Oh. So he's known as the father of cinematography. But in 1890, he was visiting his brother in France, and he was boarding a train to go back to Paris. And when the train arrived in Paris, he had completely vanished. So people saw him entering his cabin. He had checked his luggage into a separate compartment, and nobody saw him or his luggage ever again. And there were no signs of foul play. There was nothing suspicious. No one saw him in the hallways or anywhere else on the train. The windows were closed, and he wouldn't have been able to jump off of it. They looked around, and, like, it didn't seem like anyone, like, no one had thrown themselves from the train and died.
Whoa. Is he David Blaine?
Well, no. They also thought that, because sometimes people disappear because they're trying to, like, avoid something. Or, you know, we, like, looked at people faking their own deaths before and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, but he was planning to go to America so he could get patents for all of his new inventions.
Oh, so he had somewhere to be.
Yeah, and because he never got those patents, Thomas Edison took credit for it.
Oh my gosh.
And they never found Le Prince. Louis Le Prince.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
So that was, I think,
I've never even heard of one of
the most interesting stories that I read. The rest were, like, kind of sad, but that one I was like, what?
But wait, they never found him again. He just disappeared completely.
Yeah, so all of these stories, though, it is, like, kind of creepy stuff where, like, no one, there's, like, no evidence of anything happening to them.
Okay, here's a theory.
Okay.
Let me know what you think. Do you think they entered a parallel dimension?
Probably. Ooh.
I think they did.
Wait, I like to read writing prompts a lot because I like to write random stories and think of other people writing random stories. And okay. One was like, what if mirrors took you to an alternate dimension, but your reflection's job is to block your way? And I was like, whoa, mind blown.
I just got chills. Oh my God, that's so creepy. Well, did you ever hear people say, like when they talk about like mythical creatures or like cryptozoology, like Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster, like one of the biggest theories people have is that they're interdimensional beings, and that's why you can only see like glimpses of them sometimes. And yeah, because they were saying that like if they lived here all the time, that we would see evidence, like we would see fur, or we would see like, you know, evidence that they were here, but since there really isn't, except for these like, weird blurry photographs, that the theory is that they're interdimensional beings and they travel between dimensions.
I have not heard that, but I like that more than
I know
most of the stuff I've heard.
Well, I was just thinking of this mythological creature we have in this series, because we have this Morozova stag.
Well, because even you do get a sense of this different, like, figuring out what's a myth or a legend or just something like, you know, people talk about versus what's real and who believes which part is kind of interesting. And then it is sort of like a, if you believe X, like, why would Y be? I feel like even with the stag, wasn't there something where it was like, oh, what I've heard about them is like, he only appears at twilight and he grants wishes. And they were sort of like, yeah.
That's not
why
true.
Would you think he grants wishes? Yeah. It's like, well, if he only appears at twilight, like, why couldn't he also grant, like, one thing is not necessarily crazier than the other, except that one's true.
So I actually researched a little bit about the stag, like the significance of a white stag.
Okay.
And I learned that it's really, in history, it's interchangeable with the myth of the unicorn. So it's like something very rare and something pure. And it's also something that is kind of elusive. So like in Arthurian legends, white stags have an ability to evade capture. And so when people go to hunt one, it represents like a spiritual quest or like a search, like a thirst for adventure. And so that was...
Sorry, continue.
No, go ahead.
No, I just remembered something I thought was going to happen that I really wanted to happen right before the stag was killed. But finish your story and then I will tell you.
So the Celtic people believed that white stags would appear whenever a sacred law or code was being broken.
Huh.
And they were supposed to be messengers from the underworld or the other world. And they also said that they could bring change to whoever pursued one and saw it. Like it foretold a change to that person that they would experience.
Sounds like those fortune teller type people. Something is changing in the future.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And then in Christianity, there was a saint, Saint Eustace, who saw a vision of Christ between a white stag's antlers. And then, the most interesting one was in some cultures, the pursuit of a white stag, historically, the legend is that pursuing a white stag leads someone to discover a new territory. So there's a Japanese story where two brothers are looking for a white stag, and one goes east and one goes west, and they split up to look for it, and the one who went east discovered Japan. And so that's like the story of how Japan was discovered, but they don't say what happened to the one who went west.
He discovered the ocean.
Yeah, and he was never heard from again.
He vanished into the other dimension where he actually discovered the Loch Ness Monster.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what I researched. Okay. Tell me your story.
So, sorry, going back to the story. So, you know how she spared the stag, and then the Darkling showed up and shot the stag, but the stag hadn't died yet, and she wanted Mal to kill her, and Mal couldn't do it?
Oh, gosh, that was such an awful scene, but yes.
Yes. I wanted Mal to kill the stag instead so that the Darkling couldn't have the power. And then I thought that would be interesting if Mal, who wasn't even a Grisha, like, controlled the stag somehow.
Whoa.
Like, if he couldn't kill her and they were all standing right there next to the stag, I wish he had, like, thrown his spear or whatever. I guess it was bow and arrow, but still. And, like, she closed her eyes thinking it was going to hit her, and then instead he went right next to her and killed the stag. And then the Darkling was like, ah, that's supposed to be mine. That's what I was, like, convinced that was going to happen.
I don't think that would have done anything, because I think an amplifier just amplifies your power. And if he doesn't have any power, there's nothing to amplify, so it would just be a necklace from Etsy.
Well, what I thought was going to happen, then the Darkling couldn't control her. At least.
Yeah, that's true. Because
the reason
I mean, that is, like, a very obvious way to avoid having to kill her. Like, instead of having to shoot her, just shoot the stag.
And that's why I felt like it was so obvious. And, you know, I was feeling really cocky after I got, like, some of my predictions right. So I was like, oh my goodness, he's totally going to kill the stag instead of her. And then he didn't. And I was like, good thing I didn't say that out loud.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a much easier solution.
And then I thought it would be cool if it was more complicated than that, but I didn't know how all the Grisha magic worked, so it's probably good the way it worked out. I wasn't expecting it, so.
Oh, okay, so I was also thinking when you mentioned why can't she just take it off, so I forgot that the antlers are fabricated, so they have Grisha, they're forged by Grisha magic now, because David, of all people,
comes over
and, like, makes these antlers into a necklace that she can't take off. So I think that if they had been just regular antlers, sure, she probably could have removed it. But since they are, like, Grisha fabricated, I think they are designed to not be able to be removed.
No,
so
I agree.
I think she's stuck with them.
I agree right now, but I'm saying when they're like planning and he's like, don't worry, I'll get it off you one of these days or we'll destroy it. I feel like they could compromise and just find a way to get it off of her.
I wonder if, like, removing it would kill her. Like, ooh, if that was the sacrifice. And
well, the other interesting thing that they talked about or alluded to a few times was, you know how old the Darkling is and his mom, because they're so powerful. Like, the more powerful you are, the longer you live. And he's kind of talked about how lonely it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that she's going to suffer the same fate. So that's also interesting if, like, Mal just has a regular lifespan and she has this freaky supernatural life.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. Because your power is tied to your longevity, right? So the stronger you are, the longer you live.
Yep, I think so. That's my impression, yeah.
No, and it throws a wrench into my whole plan for them. Now I'm upset.
I don't know how that's going to get resolved. Maybe she'll have Mal and then she'll have the Darkling. She can have the best of both worlds. She can save the world and then destroy it again just for fun.
She can have the good and the bad. She can have both sides of that love triangle. I like when he is trying to talk to her about why he's doing what he's doing, and then she won't believe him, and he says, fine, make me your villain.
He says what?
Fine, make me your villain.
Oh, yeah.
I love that scene, because it was like, he really believes in what he's doing, and he doesn't believe that it's bad.
And that's why, but also, he kind of thinks it's bad, or else he would have just told her in the first place, I think. Like, you can't say, I lied to you, but don't worry, you totally would trust me if you knew everything. It's like, then why would you lie? Like, I don't think he fully believes that. But I think you're right. And I also think, again, there's more to his story. I want to hear him, Adelina. Don't cut him off.
Did you just call her Adelina?
I said Alina, but I was stumbling over multiple words. So I said, and then I said,
I'm sorry. I've been, like, correcting everything you say today.
No, it's good because, you know, I just say words that aren't always the right one.
Well, me too. I can't pronounce anything. And these are, like, half of these words are Russian and I can't even pronounce English words. So
I really do need to do kind of what you do with some of my notes, because I never write down characters. That's what I always mess up characters' names. I, like, can't remember them for the life of me. I can recognize them. And if you say them, I know who you're talking about, but I'm always like, the old guy with one eye, or like, the purple hair dude. Like,
what's the priest's name again?
I have no idea. You don't know his name either, you just know his title. And I still want the prince's... Okay, so now if the king's dead, or whatever...
He's only sick.
Okay, well, if the king's not in power, why aren't the two sons around?
Yeah, still no princes. End of book one, and still no princes.
Yeah, I think she's actually going to end up with the younger prince. I'm just kidding.
Who's the younger? We don't even know who the younger prince is.
I don't know. I just wanted to say something.
Is that the one who likes horses?
Yeah, I think so.
Or that's the one
that's the one who's in the army, I think.
Who may be illegitimate.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's actually the Darkling's son, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my god.
I'm just saying things right now. I'm just being ridiculous.
Let me look through my notes real quick.
All my notes are like, how to disguise yourself. Dress up as a member of the opposite sex.
Oh, have you ever done that just for fun?
I feel like I have, but I can't think of a specific, like, I feel like I did for something, but I don't remember what that thing was.
For Halloween one year, I dressed up like an older, like an old man.
Like an up? I'm imagining an up.
Yeah. It was kind of like that. And I wore like one of my dad's old suits and just put a pillow in the back because it was really big. So I was like a hunched over old man.
Did you take some eyeliner and put a mustache on?
Oh, I did better than that. I took mascara and I did a whole beard all over my entire face. And then for some reason, I don't know why I did this, but I took my mom's foundation and I whited out my eyebrows and then I redrew them really high up on my forehead.
And you have to find a picture of this for our Instagram, by the way.
There's no way, because there's one photo of this and it's one of those like Kodak printout photos because we didn't have smartphones back then.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Stop it. I'm old. But when I came downstairs, my friends, they at first did not know who I was, legit. And then they started laughing so hard that my friend Peter Pants. I really wish I could find a photo, but even if I could, I'm not posting it because it's really embarrassing.
No, that's the whole point of having an Instagram.
I guess, but that was definitely my most successful disguise, I have to say.
That is awesome. So if you ever go on the run, I'm going to look out for a mascara beard and, yeah.
Did you do any more research? Anything else?
No, I mean, just, like, more stuff related to animal bones and whatnot. But, like, nothing, again, I didn't find anything, like, really, really good. But I did read another thing that was about how they would use the bones or the teeth or whatever to summon things.
Oh.
Or, like, their spirit animals to, like, be a resting place for the spirit to help them and stuff. So, yeah, so they also thought that you could call on mythological creatures using the bones. So they would take bones from different animals from other creatures. So, like, if they took an eagle and a lion bone, they would try to summon a griffin. Or they'd take a snake and a lizard and a bird bone, and they would try to summon a dragon and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then, again, I think the article transitioned to how to call a dragon, and I did not continue reading.
You didn't try that spell?
No.
Just in case one showed up in Atlanta. I looked up Morozova to see if that was anyone significant in Russian history. Apparently there's a tennis player, Pavel Morozova, but there's also Feodosia Morozova was a Russian martyr. A martyr.
Okay, just checking. I hear what I want to hear.
A good distinction, you know. I'm glad we clarified that. She was a member of the Old Believers movement, which was a religious organization that opposed the Tsar, the state church. And so she was captured by Tsar Alexis, who wanted to punish her because she was like a leader of this religious organization that opposed him. And he considered burning her at the stake, but instead he imprisoned her in an underground cellar of a monastery where she starved to death.
Starving to death would be a bad way to go.
Oh my god, I was thinking, how long does it take to starve to death?
I think a really long time.
Really?
Well, I mean, not like really, it depends. You have like water and stuff. I think you die of thirst first.
Well, because I was just thinking of The Ring and it's 7 days.
I have seen that movie. And that was when I had to stop watching horror movies because then my mind kept trying to like prove how it was possible to myself. And I was like, it's not possible. Leave me alone, mind. So speaking of saints, I remember last week when I was looking into Tsar Nicholas and the Romanovs and how they died, I think they were actually made saints, but they were called passion bearer, and it meant like dying, instead of dying for your faith, it meant like dying in faith or something. Because a martyr is someone who's like killed for their faith,
right?
So they weren't obviously killed because of their faith, but they like, something about their death was related to faith, I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know. You should probably double check everything about that, because I think a third of it's
true. We'll just go with that. That's fine.
And now I'm trying to look it up and I can't find anything. I also have really vivid dreams sometimes, and I'm not always sure when I wake up, like, or sometimes I, like, remember something and I say it, and then I, like, can't remember where I learned it from, so I'm not sure if I, like, dreamt it or if I really read it somewhere.
But we'll tell a million people, just in case.
Do we have a million followers?
Oh gosh, we don't even have, like, 1,000 followers.
Everyone go tell two of your friends. I'm just kidding. Okay, speaking of followers.
Oh.
Should we talk about the next book?
Oh, I thought we had a new follower. Yes, we should talk about the new book. Why don't... I think it's your turn to read the back of the book.
Okay. So, book two of the same series by Leigh Bardugo, and it is called Siege and Storm. So, on the back it says, "Darkness never dies." That means he's still alive. I'm just kidding.
It does, I'm sure.
Hunted across the true sea, haunted by the lives she took on the fold, Alina must try to make a life with Maul in an unfamiliar land, all while keeping her identity as the Sun Summoner a secret. But she can't outrun her past or her destiny for long. The Darkling has emerged from the Shadowfold with a terrifying new power, ooh, and a dangerous plan that will test the very boundaries of the natural world. With the help of a notorious privateer, Alina returns to the country she abandoned, determined to fight the forces gathering against Ravka. But as her power grows, Alina slips deeper into the Darkling's game of forbidden magic and farther away from Maul. Somehow she will have to choose between her country, her power, and the love she always thought would guide her, or risk losing everything to the oncoming storm.
Ooh.
This sounds good. And it sounds like there's going to be some new characters, too.
Hopefully some of them are the princes.
I hope that. I already decided the prince is my favorite character, even if he's never in the book again. I'm just kidding.
He might come and be worse than the Darkling.
I know, he probably is.
I mean, all this stuff's going on, and they're, where are they? They're not... Like, don't they have a kingdom to rule?
Playing with their pretty horses. Well, and also at the end of the last book, they were talking about the first army and the second army have turned against each other. Like, there's chaos right now going on in the country of Ravka.
And,
but,
yeah, and there's the Shadowfold is now bigger. There are Volker everywhere.
And the Sun Summoner has disappeared. Okay, let's read up to chapter 13. So read through chapter 12 and stop at chapter 13.
Okay, I can do that.
And I checked and I accounted for the bonus material in the back of the book, so that should be more halfway.
This will be a little bit more accurate. Okay, I'm excited. I'll see you next week.
All right. Do you want a joke?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you reminded me. I would have totally forgot. Yes.
It's because I've been nervous about it this whole time. Because this isn't even like, this is like a dad joke, but it's like a dad conversation. So the kid goes, "Hey dad, I met a new exchange student today at school. He's Russian." And the dad goes, "Where to?"
That's cute.
It wasn't very good. I was gonna try and look up an eclipse joke, but I think I already told an eclipse joke once.
You did, so. You did.
Yeah. And then I got nervous.
I'm really excited about this eclipse coming up. Are you gonna watch it?
Yeah, except I ordered glasses on Amazon and now I'm worried that they're the ones that were recalled or whatever.
Oh no, eclipse glasses? You can stare into the sun?
Yeah, except I'm really nervous because I've been reading about how bad it is for your eyes if you're wrong, if you see it for real.
Yeah, maybe. Isn't that what happened to Galileo? Didn't he go blind from that?
I also, like, legitimately have an eye doctor's appointment the day after the eclipse, so I'm kind of like, am I being paranoid or?
Then go ahead, stare
at your eye. I scheduled it before.
Do you remember the last solar eclipse? I'm trying to think how old we are and how the difference in our ages, but I remember the last solar eclipse that happened. I was in, I think, either kindergarten or first grade. And I remember it was during recess, and we all went onto the playground to look at the eclipse, and our teachers were like, "Don't look at the sun, like, it'll hurt your eyes." And so, like, all of us were standing there with our hands over our eyes, and then we would just, like, move our hands instantly, like, for a second, and then cover our eyes again so we could look at the eclipse in, like, little flashes. But I remember it, like, it made the entire playground go dark, and it was really cool.
That is really cool. I don't feel like I remember that. I don't...
Yeah, you probably
so I'm looking it up. Like, so the last solar eclipse occurred on 1991, July 11.
Yeah, I was 6.
Okay. I was 1.
Never mind. Well, I'm really glad you'll get to see it this time.
I'm really glad, too. Everyone wear glasses. Actually, by the time we post this, it'll have already happened, so...
We should eat Bellinis that day, because they're shaped like the sun.
Hopefully you didn't ruin your eyes so you guys can all see the picture that Marissa's going to post eventually of her old man outfit.
That's never going to happen.
All right. Anything else?
All right. No, I'm good.
Okay. Bye, bookworms.
Go get a library card.
M&K Talk YA is produced and edited by Marissa Snyder and Katie Bradford. Original music composition by Timothy Milkey. Logo design by Marissa Snyder. For updates and extras, visit mnktalkya.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We would like to thank James Tobias, Chad Snyder, Meredith Kelfie, and Michael Howard for all of their support. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.